You asked me more than one question, though. You asked me permission to ask one question. You asked me four. Can I ask you a question?
Can I ask
How's your day going, sir?
Yes. This is 2020.
Yes, and how is your day going in 2020?
Well, Bill's killing me. Out of work.
Okay. Okay, that's good to know.
But that don't stop me life, because the life can still spin.
Okay.
Right.
So but please talk to me.
All right?
Yeah.
Where did Christianity came from to we, the descendants of the Africans in the Western world? From who you would say?
Well, I know for sure it didn't come from a white man. The Bible that I read references Christians in three places. And if you read the Acts, in the early church, you refer to them as the Christians, persons who follow the teachings of Jesus Christ.
Okay, so King James, he was what? What King James was? He translated the Bible from, I think it was Greek?
Well, it was the Bible. The Bible is a book of books, inspired by 40 different men over a period of 4,000 years.
Right.
Covering four different covenants.
Is how old what, ma'am?
It covers, if you read Matthew 4:11, you will see it talks about the different genealogies, and it covers a number of the generations from way back.
Okay. We can get to that. But I said in the spirit, right? We were in the Western world from Africa, our ancestors and us for about 400 years, right?
Yeah.
We got brought here from Europeans to this Western world, right?
Mm-hmm. I could be cheeky and tell you that I am. I could be cheeky and tell you that I was born and raised in Barbados.
You speak English, right?
I do.
Right. Is the language passed down from the persons who brought
yes,
it from Africa?
Yes, of course.
If you speak French, you probably was the property of Frenchman, Dutch, as it
That's
wants.
Right.
Right. This is my question again to ask you, because you said about the Acts. Jesus was what? He was Hebrew, right?
Hebrew. He was a Jew.
He was a Jew, right?
He was the king of the Jews.
Okay. So how come all of his disciples, they're all English? They all have English names. Matthew, Mark.
No. You only are speaking in the language for which we only know what is in our language. When it's translated in another language, they don't call it Jesus, they call it Yeshua or whatever you call it.
Does names change in translations?
The pronunciation, sir.
Okay. What's the pronunciation in Greek for my?
I don't know Could you share with me, please? I'm taking you very serious. I don't know it. In Greek, so you tell me it. Share it with me. I'm always willing to learn.
None of those names in Greek or in Latin.
Okay, so somebody made it up and put it in the Bible, and we believe it, and we are all dumb?
No, I'm not saying you're dumb. You see, African people are more religious than even these Europeans, you know.
Religion is really what's killing a lot of people on this earth. You know that?
Religion?
Yeah, religion, which is the way how people follow God.
Say religion, you know, it was there killing the people on the earth. A 1% of people. That's greedy.
And
don't care how much you spend, the greed is overwhelming.
Okay.
Enough to go wrong in the world, you know. It's just ain't enough greed within these people to stop being greedy.
There's a lot of greed, trust me. I agree with you on the greed part.
Right. But this is what I'm telling you again. If you're in the same mind, all you gotta do is do good.
But how do you do good? Do you believe that the heart of man is wicked?
No.
You don't?
No, well, I don't believe that.
We sit from two different places, and I don't mean the physical heart.
Place.
No. We are made up of body, mind, and soul, sir.
Okay.
When you die and your body, your earth to earth, dust to dust, you think that when your body goes, that your what do you think goes to your spirit?
This is what I know. I don't deal with thinking or hoping.
Right, I'm asking you what you know. Share with me what you know or what you think.
As long as you have children, you live on. It's when you don't have children, that's when the generation ends.
Well,
As long as you've got children...
I'm not talking about the generation. I'm talking about you, the person who has
I'm a spirit. I'm a spirit.
Ah, you're talking the same language.
I'm just using the flesh to experience what it is to be human.
Yeah. And who, could I ask, who created you?
My mother and my father.
Right. And they're creators.
Yes. A woman is the creator. Without a woman, there's no life.
Okay.
If you have two men, you're not going to bring life. If you have two women, it cannot get no life. Without man and woman, there's no life.
Yes. That's procreating, though. I'm talking about creation. We procreate.
Creation came from Caucasians.
Creation, sorry?
Caucasians were created.
Yeah, blacks were created,
Africans
too.
Africans weren't created. Africans taught themselves into existence.
Okay.
Millions of years ago.
This is an interesting perspective. For which we don't share the same
view. We don't want to search it. Everything about us, these people know, you know. These Caucasians called, we used to actually civilize this European race. The Moors, they went from North Africa. You ever heard about the Dark Ages?
Yeah.
Why you call it the Dark Ages?
Mm-hmm.
We went and we civilized these people and learned to bathe and learned to groom themselves and all that. That's okay. Fine.
So could I ask you, what is your religion, if I may? I know we're not supposed to talk too much about religion on this program.
Love is conquer all. You only need the love.
And where does love come from?
You are love, as long as you're living in the flesh. You see love every day.
I believe that God is love.
For the essence. You believe in God. I believe, I call upon the essence.
Okay.
The essence is something you can see it, you can feel it, but you don't know who controls it.
Mm-hmm.
It's higher than all of this. I hear people say they holler for Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
It's fact that Jesus, the word Jesus came from, the same, what we call the slave trade. The ship that Sir John Hawkins was riding used to transit slaves from Africa to the West Indies and back to England.
Mm-hmm.
The word Jesus, the name Jesus was on a ship named Jesus Alamec.
Mm-hmm.
In Latin, which was the old language, that means the good ship Jesus. You know who was riding along with John Hawkins? The same King James.
Mm-hmm.
He was also named King of Lord. That's like with the word Lord. You hear the word Lord, and we say the word Lord. But the Lord is sitting in London. You can get a Lord if you're a millionaire. You can get a lordship, if you understand me.
In human form, yes. In that form.
That's where the word came from.
Yeah.
And just remember, we speak in the language they give us. We don't know nothing about Africa, you know. We got to really stretch and go back to Africa if we want to know Africa.
Okay.
But what we're dealing with down here, ain't no Africans down here, really. Some of them practice it, but as long as they're in for the gain, they're not. They're calling themselves black, and no, you're African. Don't care where you go in the world, you're this color, you're African.
Okay.
Africa was all over the world. If you go to the Easter Islands, if you go to wherever, you go see.
All over the face.
Will be African people.
Yeah. I'm going to thank you so much, and I'm going to look forward to hearing you on another occasion, and I'm going to love you and leave you. This is Dr. Brastacks. Dr. Brastacks, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You can hear me?
Yes, I can hear you loud and clear.
Just, I think it was your first call or one caller that was questioning the education system and so forth. You know, that was resolved 2 years ago. The type of education system that Beijing need, want.
That the
Remember
education
that?
System was resolved 2 years
the
ago?
Type, yeah. He was arguing for mean testing and so forth. And you agree with that?
He that's not the only thing he talked about. He talked about the realigning of the resources for that different person.
I'm calling him on that point. You
on the mean test.
Universal access to education?
If he doesn't?
F you. Do you believe in universal access to education?
To some extent, but I think that our education system needs a revamp.
To extent?
Sir?
It's either universal
to some or not. No, it's not either or not. You can have a system that is grid, that is what we call multifaceted, or you can have a hybrid approach.
Universal has a particular meaning in social welfare and social policy.
Yes, it does.
And welfare policy.
And you don't have to use universal. You can have one that has a multi effect or a hybrid approach that addresses the different needs of the users.
But
you don't have to stick to universal.
You believe it is a social or public good?
Education?
Yeah.
I think education is both. You can't separate. You can't separate.
Oh, dear me. All right. If you can tolerate me a little longer.
No, it's not about tolerating. Right? Let's enjoy the conversation. You go ahead.
All right. You think that a man, suppose I'm a millionaire.
I hear that you're an idealist.
A millionaire and a pauper.
Mm-hmm.
Should they enjoy the same sunlight?
The same sunlight?
Yeah.
But they do.
Right. Because it is a public good.
Uh-huh.
So when the millionaire enjoys that sunlight, it doesn't stop me from enjoying mine.
I know it was a public good, sir. But sure, share with us.
No, that's what I mean. I was a little taken back.
By me saying both?
But you saying both, it could be universal, and otherwise I don't know how that is possible. But you also, if it's public good, is a public good or a private good?
But we treat it right now in government, the way how we treat it as a social good. When government sits down and it makes its policies and it sets the agenda for education, it is looking at it from a socio-economic, and it's not even economic per se, just a social, they're treating it from a, this is, they start from the policy of universal education, and within
good.
And within that, every single user benefits.
Well, right, this is a public
but
good.
What the gentleman is saying is based on the socio-economic capacity and makeup of a number of the users of the same education, being the students of richer kids or children who have more access to financial resources, he's saying that there should be a modification or that those people should pay for that good.
Well, I think that argument was resolved 2 years ago in the election at the University of West. Just forget that you was, people were saying you should
he
pay
was
it.
Referencing secondary education. He was not referencing university
worse,
education. But we already have a policy, a government policy, which is both administrations, where there's no discussion about whether or not any student should not or should benefit from primary or secondary or even, it's called no nursery education. They all can benefit from it. And that's a policy decision of the government.
So you don't want to lever that point. Because he went so far as to say that you can come to that conclusion because you see some Mercedes park in the car park.
Right, but that's his perspective. What is your perspective? Share with us your perspective.
No, I thought you would have understood that I believe in universal access to education. I believe also the quality of health care anybody gets should not be determined by the person's ability to pay.
Economic
capacity. So you understand how my thinking
yes.
is?
Yeah, I understand your thinking.
Right.
And I would say that if I was growing up and we did not have universal access, I would not have been able to benefit from the education that I got in Barbados. And as a result, I have a personal position that every single child should get access to primary, secondary, and tertiary education.
I didn't get that impression.
However, that's what I said to you. Share with me your thoughts and never ever read what somebody says by what you hear them saying in conversation with somebody else. Because oftentimes people are responding to something and you take one thing and you come to a conclusion about that person or about what that person is intending to say.
Okay.
And that's not always fair to the person.
You know what was going through my mind? Let me tell you.
Mm-hmm.
I say, I said to myself, probably this moderator is only about 2 or 3 generations from poverty, you know. So you come to your
conclusions based on my discussion. So you see, and I'm glad that you are being as transparent and as, you know, as honest and authentic as you are.
Uh-huh.
You came to a conclusion based on a conversation where, and I'm sure you heard when I inquired of the gentleman, what about the other 700 people? What about
know,
the other 400 people, etc.? Because in my view, because we have people who are rich, you shouldn't take away from the lot because you don't know how the lot stand. One, and if a person chooses to spend their money on consumables and education is there, they should not be disadvantaged because you're telling them how to spend their disposable income. That's their business in the Barbados that I have grown up in. And that's one of the reasons why I will continue to be the person that I am. I know where I came from. If I did not have access to universal education, I would not be the person I am today. And
okay,
I remember as a teenager sitting in Mr. Morris's class I was 14 years old. We were having a social studies class and he was bringing all these ideologies. We talked about a number of things. It was a year of phenomenal openness for me. I learned a lot. And I attacked some of the theses that he came with. And we argued in class. And he was so proud of my perspective because I wasn't just taking what, let's say, Karl Marx and what, you know, Mr. Comrex or whoever said what they said. And I'm saying that that's what it is. I said, no, they were teaching us that you are a product of your environment. And I said that we all have idiosyncrasies and we tend to go in different ways because of how something deals or gels with us. We may not like a particular scenario, But you don't tell me that everybody that grows up in a jungle is going to eat green grass.
All right.
Or every person that, you know, grows up in a wealthy environment is going to end up being a doctor or lawyer. We have different people who make choices because of things that happen to them, and they become who they want to be based on not only societal confines and parameters or whatever, it's simply because different experiences happen. And we had a lovely engagement, and it taught me at that very stage. And he said to me, you know, you're the, one of the first students who questioned my, not necessarily his thesis, but what he was teaching all along. He just, you would put it on the board and students wouldn't ask any questions and whatever, whatever. And I have never forgotten to question things, to ask questions, to, you know, and I be, that's the person I am. I ask questions. And today, I still ask questions.
Okay, the fellow that was talking about, rather ask you about Jesus and so forth. Next time he calls, ask him if he believes that 300,000 years ago, all the Europeans migrated out of Africa and all the way one human being.
And did what?
That the Europeans, what you call Europeans now,
yes,
they came out of Africa.
Mm-hmm.
You believe that?
If I believe that everyone came from Africa?
Yeah.
I know where we first started. If we look at the first civilization, it was resident in Africa. The first writings were about Africa. I know that for sure.
But the genetic
and the different
of the whole, but even the latest findings that have archaeological findings,
mm-hmm.
we shred up the origin of human mankind is in Africa. So they migrated out.
Mm-hmm.
Out of Africa, the white people came out of Africa, mm-hmm. so we're all Africans.
Right, but bear in mind, you say that because you're not speaking of race now, you're speaking of where a person was born.
Yeah, because race, people will say race is something mystical. How you can be
complex?
How you can have races when there's only one, when everybody's saying.
There's a human race, but we are big on divisions and... As small as we are, we know how to separate the red from the orange, from the red from the blue and the green. And we are told, where's the difference here? And you have to look for differences. We are taught to look at differences. We're not taught necessarily to look at commonalities.
Right. We look to separate. We want to separate.
Yes.
Right. So
differentiate and all that. Mm-hmm. But you were giving us your last point.
No, that's all. To go along that line is... a lot about it, a lot of genetics and involved and so forth, how people write books showing even some of the early what people call them contractarians, people like Locke and Kant and all those that try to derive some civilization coming from Greece, all right?
Mm-hmm.
All those men were also racist, so the world established a white superiority race, and that's the problem in the world.
Mm-hmm.
That this white superiority is the problem.
But you know that even in our own generation, mm-hmm. As I said, I was doing a lot of thinking over the last few weeks, and watching a lot of videos, and, you know, reading a lot of stuff, picking back up some history. And it's very interesting how indoctrination can actually make you feel as though you are not good enough. And while in our instance, it may not only happen particularly in race, but it happens in color. You come along and think that, and because of culture and because of how people are treated based on their color and the law of prejudices that exist, you actually feel as though you're inferior.
Well, that means people have been successful.
Yeah. And then it is perpetuated by either either parents or people around you, and how people are treated because of color. And as a result of your blackness,
right,
you may not be embraced as much as a person who's not as apparently black as you are. And
right.
And those are things that happen in our society today. It is being honest about it. And I remember in 2002, I went to Macau, which is a predominantly, it's an Asian place right next to Beijing. We actually had to get on a lovely ferry and head over to Macau. And it was the Bollywood, just like how you have the Hollywood Awards. We went to the Indian Awards, and we walked on the red carpet, and I mean, they treated us like, I mean, if we were gods. And believe it or not, at that time, I was contemplating wearing my hair natural. And I came back and I made a decision. Being there amongst, I saw this lady, she came and she rubbed my skin from my hand up. And she said, can I take a picture? I was like, this is a beautiful thing to her. And here I was standing looking at what we call, you know, an icon, a beautiful skin and nice long hair. You know, a very beautiful lady she was. And a whole set of other people saw us. And I was among the group that we went. We had one Caucasian, three blacks, and one very high brown black. I was the darkest, second darkest, because there was the other guy who was nice chocolate brown gentleman. And they looked at us like if we were these enigmas. They've never seen people like us before and touched our skin and that kind of thing, took pictures. And I came by and said, Lisa, we are a beautiful black woman. And, you know, if you want to wear your hair. And I went on a three-year. Sometimes I do things in 3 years. But I went on a three-year stint. And I enjoyed my hair. I got a lot of negativity. I got some embracing. And the moment I relaxed my hair again, because I was getting tired of it, to be honest, it really does require a lot of care. The moment I relaxed my hair, you should hear the compliments, sir. Oh, your hair looks so nice. Oh, you look so good. Girl, this is nice. I mean, I smile to myself at the responses you get from people when all along, oh, this hair suits you. Or you wouldn't even get a compliment. But as soon as you straighten the hair, automatically people are, you know, complimentary. But that's how we have been acclimatized. If you come along and you see all the magazines and you watch television, you don't see a lot of the blackness, and therefore you don't appreciate it the same.
That's true.
But different people experience different things.
Okay.
Thanks for talking with me and bearing through my your thought process and what you thought I said. Down to brass tacks. Good morning. We are at 15 minutes after the hour of 11. 12 minutes after the hour of 11. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing well. And yourself?
Not too bad. All right. My main theme here is why they want to censor me from the program. That would be my main theme.
That you're being censored from the program, or you want to know where you would be censored from a program?
Well, I want your listeners to know that when they're hearing this voice, it's because it ain't that I'm trying to call is because they're being censored.
What?
Right?
Michelle is saying otherwise, so stop.
No, not you, Michelle. You are lovely. You, both you and the other gentleman that produced this program.
So anyway, so let's not descend on the producers.
Producer here, right? Just like how the world have a shadow government.
I
see this program having a shadow producer.
Recently, right? I've been watching a series. I don't want to call the name of the series. Very interesting series. And there is this supposed shadow government. And this shadow government essentially controls everything. Whatever it wants out there, whatever it doesn't want out there, doesn't get out. And it is amazing bear in mind, this is fake. This is just Hollywood. But it does cause you to think of what really transpires in real life. Whether I know you're mentioning a shadow government is interesting. So you continue. So, but you do believe in a lot of conspiracy theories, though. So you would talk about a shadow government.
So you don't think that Hollywood is trying to put the truth out in their shows?
I want you to know that 4 years ago, 1, 2, 3, this is 2020. We are in 2013. Hollywood produced a movie called Contagion. It is the exact replica. I mean, of course, a few changes and whatever of COVID-19. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So it caused me to wonder, wait, should I believe in such conspiracy theories? You know, what's going on here? The way it was passed on, all of what transpired, it was amazing when I watched. And the thing is, I watched Contagion around March of 2020, or just probably February of 2020. I said, this can't be right. Because at the time, you know, we were hearing about the news and I could not believe my ears or what I was seeing for that matter. But these things happen. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you, my theme is why they censored me from the program. And I speak things, I do say like conspiracy theories, right? But I do believe in my conspiracy theories. But
it's not fair. In all respect, uh-huh. and in all fairness, when a call comes through, it goes to the producer in the room above me. I'm not near them. I can't see them. I can't stop calls or start calls.
Mm-hmm. But I'm talking about.
I hear you, but I just want to let you know that I can tell whether or not a call is on and the mm-hmm. producer is not taking it, and that's not right. Right now we have four calls.
Yes? I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about. You say get on today.
Yeah, but you can't make an allegation and say that because even sometimes when let's say it is 1:41 and the mm-hmm. board is full, I can probably only talk to two or three people there and I wouldn't get to talk to all the rest and one might have called an hour prior, but they're waiting in. So it's not fair to say that you were left out.
No, Lisa, this is 2020, right? Mm-hmm. I start calling this program in 2000, so it'd be 20 years of experience to know what goes on behind closed doors, mm-hmm. right? So you could disagree with me, but that is my...
But you're saying that you've called the program and you did not get on.
Right, there's
and you think that there's a shadow government stopping you from getting on.
All through the COVID time, you ain't hearing me because there's things like these that I would say. If it put me in charge, right? Put me in charge.
I don't even know if Dennis is listening because I know that's
put me in charge
targeting
of this country, Ali. Just listen. Put me in charge of this country.
Mm-hmm.
Some people that you see that home now without jobs and mm-hmm. lost a job, yes. that could have worked, mm-hmm. would be still working. Because
if you were
I would have had
country.
It matter different. This is just my opinion. Got
so did you reach out to the people who lead the country right now to give them your suggestions? Because you can't say that you get shut up from brass sats and you stopped.
All right, let me continue what you're saying, right?
Okay.
They would be still continue to work because I would deal with the matter. It would be just like some few country that did not close shut down. But this COVID-19 showed us, you all talking about slavery today, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know that you all are still in slavery. But this time it's called government.
If I was allowed right? to sing... I would sing a song for you now.
You see, you want to distract me?
No. It's every time I...
you want to distract me for saying what you say?
No, I don't. Continue.
And this is why they were saying to me, right? Ever say things like that. Because I'm a piece of anarchist, but not a total one, right? But you said a lot of things that I would go and get back to on this program today, right? Because I can tell you this. You listening?
I'm listening. Loud and clear.
Look, you see, they're trying to search for who got this thing. I will look for people that got their non-communicable diseases and who ain't all that healthy.
Mm-hmm.
But for healthy people, all COVID-19 is a frog in the throat.
Okay.
And a dry cough. That's all it is.
So you're saying people that we stopped you from saying something
saying,
like that?
I am saying that people could be still got the jobs and we will mean more slavery mm-hmm. having to pay back money because it's nothing more than an economical reset.
So let me tell you what I deduce from that. I deduce that you would not have, not closed borders because our borders haven't been effectually closed.
Mm-hmm.
But you would not have shut down the country, but you would have protected those persons who have the
right.
potential comorbidities.
Yeah, and put people in masks.
Okay. So right. you would have had a different strategy had you been leading this country,
right.
basically.
I would have had a different strategy, a more democratic one.
Okay.
I can tell you this here, right?
Mm-hmm.
You also calling for a republic. But let me tell you have it and you don't know. A republic is...
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
There's no way, Lisa,
yes.
that somebody should be ruling over me that did not get my vote. And you have... And then that's why you start with religion all the time. Because you can go back...
But Trinidad has... Just to continue from your point, Trinidad has uh-huh. a republic and there are many people who didn't vote for the ruling party and...
Uh-huh.
So what are you suggesting?
All right, tell me this here.
Mm-hmm.
But Trinidad...
Trinidad's a republic. I'm using the example of the Republic of Trinidad.
But you
can't put that out there, sir, and then drop it and then don't expect
right,
anybody
tell
to
me
query
you. Trinidad does get a chance to vote for the president, right?
Yes.
Right, that's what you're talking about. I'm saying that no prime minister have no right functioning like a president and she isn't none.
But that's our government system, though. We have the two-party best minister
system.
That
because... Education want like revamping and coming again because intelligence does not tell me that I should be the truth should be based on customs and tradition.
it should, it telling me it should be what is factual and real and truth and just. This COVID-19 is showing up a lot of things. I thought about the society and they more about the economy now, because I realize that the economy is just a function of the society. Huh? Are you going to close on that then? A lot of people go to work and they vex.
So right. Question for you. You would not have closed anything, but look at, let's work through what your point is. The airlines stopped coming. Nobody was going to the hotels. What would you have done? You would have kept them going to work to go to who? Who would they be servicing?
Okay. You're talking about, you're only looking at the hotel sector.
No. You just said that the people in the hotel sector, if they were, if these are people who would still have their jobs. Primarily the persons who have been impacted are the tourism industry type.
Okay.
Employees. I'm working you through. I'm trying to figure out if those, if the customers had stayed home, who would they have been servicing if we did not shut down?
There's some people that lost the businesses, and then in the tourism sector, there's people that could have, the business could have opened.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So are you looking at one that I could agree with that?
Right, so give me one. Just give me one and let's work it through. That's all I'm trying to say.
And you
so
choose
that
one because you know what I can't really...
No, but choose the one that you are saying because you
right,
were...
Right, construction could have still gone.
Right, so which construction?
People could have still go and sell the produces.
But the produce didn't shut down. Produce was still open.
All right. In a small sense. But some, if the people ain't coming out, they ain't making the money.
Right, so, but you're making the same point then, because essentially, the government knew that there was a potential for a larger contagion across Barbados, and therefore, they took a decision that they would close down certain sectors and leave the essential services working. It impacted the economy negatively in a big way, yes.
Yes.
But there were a large, out of those 40,000 persons that we are talking about, persons who are either on layoff or permanently affected in employment-wise, let's just say that a 6,000 or a 10,000 of those that will fall in, the whether you call it the gyms and the non-essential areas and the non-tourism areas, if you extrapolate that group out of there, that figure is actually less than 10,000 people. And there are people who, because of the reopening, they have started going back to work. So I'm trying to figure out how is it if you didn't close down, who are these people, who are these large number of persons who would still be working? Because effectively, the world shut. Everything stopped. The systems stopped. The airplanes stopped. The ships stopped. All the people who, if you look at the type of economy that we have, that it's very tourism dependent. All of those, a lot of those people are the persons who lost jobs. If you are the leader of this country, as you're saying, and you would not have shut the country, you're still saying that you would have been able to service the people, but service them with who? You need customers in order to buy the goods. You need customers in order to provide the service. That's you need people. And we did not have people because people were afraid of catching the COVID-19 or passing it on.
And that's because of the media.
Okay, if you think so.
It has a lot to do with it. The media that being controlled by the same shadow government you're talking about.
So there was a whole frenzy created by the media to put in people's mind a fear and cause them to stay inside.
Fear is what most killing people do. But I want to end on this one with Jesus, right?
Yes.
The gentleman that talking about Jesus and thing, but I can tell you all something about being black, and I am not one that can talk about Black Lives Matter, right? Although it is a political thing, it seems politically wise to have that as your anthem. But is this a humanity crisis? There's a crisis in humanity. That's what it is to me, right? As an intelligent person.
Yeah.
But I can tell you something, my blackness is what I call my masculinity, right? So at the end of weakness in me talking about Black Lives Matter and want people want support from this boy and this body, right? My blackness do not tell me, suggest to me that man and woman is equal. My blackness do not suggest to me that I should be accepting same-sex marriage. Oh, that's my blackness. But you see, you can't agree with it because it sounds harsh. But I'm just trying to tell you that my blackness, my strength, and my manhood. I should be like the lion you see that got that mane.
Okay.
That's my blackness. So I don't understand all this weakness black people going down with, right? And all you talk about Donald Trump, it's not about color. You had a black president that is supporting the gay marriage. He's not black. That is not, he that his position he hold, and he can't hold it. So I black. So I can't understand that. I could see myself more in Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Don't mind a lot of you hate him, but he being who he is, right? Mm-hmm. And he got to do, he got to toe the line from the same, what he's saying, shot of government said, tell you to do. But I can see that he be, still being himself, and that way like he far.
Okay. Down to brass tacks. Down to brass tacks.
Good morning to you.
Down to brass tacks. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
How are you doing?
I'm fine. I missed you.
Oh, you did? I didn't go too far. I couldn't get out of the country, I can tell you that much.
I know that. How COVID treat you?
COVID was lovely. It was hard. I learned a lot of things. I went through different emotions in COVID. COVID was really, it taught us a lot. I saw my little son become very savvy on the, you know, using the technology to the point that he's managing it on his own. I went through different things. I found myself on a little bit too many Zoom meetings at one point. I was like, whoa, I can't take another one of these. So we went through different things, and we were able to get things done. I wrapped up two clients virtually. That was a good thing. COVID had its pros and its cons. How was it for you?
Well, for COVID, I
heard you on the radio a lot for COVID. You called in a lot. I heard your voice a lot.
Okay. Listen, what I felt about COVID is like when the curfew, you have that peace and calm and serenity, and the skies were different. Mm-hmm. And no pollution. It was also wonderful from that point of view.
From that point of view,
everybody had to be in by a certain time. And I believe that at some point in time, we should have a day for peace and quietness and stuff. It was so different, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
The only thing that I didn't like about it is that when people get sick and the problems, they had to quarantine them and stuff like that. But you know, like sometimes you have to work with these things, and like just now, we're waiting on you. Mm-hmm. The wind was in the west.
You're the second person that mentioned the wind for the morning.
It was whistling. It sounds so funny, and from time to time, you hear this funny noise and things. So I wonder what's going to happen in the hurricane season.
Yeah, they're calling something. They said knock on wood.
You know,
they did say it's going to be a busy hurricane season, though.
I went and bought this solar radio, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you know that this thing don't work unless it's sound hot, hot, hot.
You're not serious.
Yeah, I.
What kind of radio you call it? A solar?
Solar radio for true.
So you wanted to? What kind of condition you want it to work in?
Listen, it got the light antenna or torch light, right? Mm-hmm. One of those radios, an FM radio. So I thought, this is going to be a good radio. I charged
you have to put it close to the window.
And it won't pick up the thing unless it's torch. So I tried to put it close to the heat, well, it ain't getting a lot of sunshine, so mm-hmm. it ain't working now.
Oh, no.
I said, we're going to invest my money.
That is... Yeah? Why you say that, and it may sound like a joke, we must understand, even for example, Barbados and using solar technology, and people talk about wind and geothermal, and you know, the whole host of, you know, the whole gamut of it. It is whether the conditions are ripe for the best utilization or optimization that we have to manage. Because I did a study tour a couple years ago. We went to Atlantic Canada. Some private sector persons here left and went up to Atlantic Canada to see how they do their wind energy mm-hmm. and how the windmills were done. And one gentleman from Town and Country Planning was on our trip as well to look at some of the logistics behind it, etc. And when I came back, well, while there as well, one of the big things they talked about was there are times when the conditions are not ripe, even although we may live, and we know this, sometimes outside it's very sunny, but then there are other days we have overcast.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're depending on technology in a large measure and you have not pulled the best of the technology for best optimization, then and add that to the conditions not being ripe, you may have a challenge. So while that may seem like a joke or it may seem disappointing in its very simplest terms, the conditions have to be ripe. And we know good well as it relates to even solar, and the water heating system that we've had in Barbados. We've been even leaders across the globe many years ago. We are now seeing in days, I experience it, in days when outside is not very hot, the water from the pipe is not very hot either. And again, that's because there's no sun. So maybe the red is just reflecting what it likes solar.
I took myself, I got already manufacturers and let them know because they said they, I think, have a 20% off and stuff. So I got written them and tell them how the red is responding.
You can let them know, yes.
It's suitable for the hurricane season.
But you want to treat it like a normal radio that you plug in every day, or you only use it for certain occasions?
No, I just plug it in because my normal radio that works off of battery electricity, that wasn't working, and I don't know what was the problem, so I sent it off to get checked. Okay. If it was the radio or if it was the cable or whatever, you know.
Okay.
So I said, well, use this thing instead, and this thing don't work at all.
You need a technician because I am far from.
Yeah,
I like picking down things and putting them back up, but I wouldn't be able to help you in that regard,
and
other
that
than to say put it close by.
But my main area here is now that most of the people who are unemployed, some of them have gone back out to work. I don't ever think that.
Most of them? No, dear. No.
I would say most of them.
A lot of people have resumed, or there's been a resumption of work.
Some of them gone back to work, right? But I can't see right now, right, that we will ever go back to full employment in a hurry because we have a lot of people who are underemployed.
We didn't have full employment before, though.
No. And we have unemployment, which is about 49,000 plus. Don't forget, we had 1,400 before, and then we had some in the other government, right? And everybody ain't really thing. So while I was at home, I wrote 24 poems, right? And I said, well, Laurie, well, I don't know, but something got work. So
you're going to write another 76?
I wrote 24 poems, and I plan to give them to one of my lecturers at UE to let her have a look at them. And I'm thinking about having them posted ebook style. And
oh, because I was going to tell you, I approached a publisher a couple years ago for my brother, because my brother does poems, beautiful poems, and he had about 50. So she told me, good start, but he needs another 50 more if you want to publish them as a book. She said a book of poems will be too short, will be too small a book. So you need to have something, not necessarily voluminous, but a decent size. When somebody holds it in their hand, it's worth buying.
Yeah, and the cost to print them here.
But the e-publishing is a very good idea, and 26 is a sufficient enough number. Can't say sufficient and enough together, but it's a sufficient number, sufficiently sized number, that you can start thinking of e-publishing. And sometimes what you can actually do is go online, lecture, not necessarily. Just go online and see who and how, ask how to. Or find, look at some other poem, e-publish, and ask them what are the steps to e-publishing. And you can get that done at home in a week's time.
Yeah, because you can do it on a particular site.
Yeah, some of them are free as well. Set up a blog and put them on.
Because of what's going on with the shipping and this thing and stuff, you know, you might have to scan it and send it to them, but you wouldn't get it marketed.
If it's
right
e-published, we're talking at cross purposes. If you're doing an e-book, you don't need to ship anything.
I don't ship. You can email it. You can scan it and email it.
When you say scan it and email it, can't you just write it out and email it? You don't have to scan it.
You can type it. Well, I have it all typed on.
Right. So you now have to make it. What I can encourage you to do
is just
type it out.
I just only have to email it off to them, and they would normally deal with it accordingly. You know what I mean?
Before you even email it, what I can encourage you to do is photocopy everything that you have and take it to the post office and register, email yourself, and copyright it. That's what I would encourage you.
I will copyright it first.
That's the first order of business, so that no one steals your ideas if you pass them off to anyone.